is the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live from PJ Wellahan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. Now, here are your hosts, Devon Gibbons and Brian Westbrook.
And welcome to another edition of the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live in Cherry Hill at PJ Wellahan's, 1854 East Malton Pike, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, of course. Every week with Brian Westbrook, presented by the 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night following Eagles games from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show live here in Cherry Hill. Grab a seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos. All day, every day, enjoy $7 19 Crimes Wine featured wines by the glass. Also, Rudder Roofing, windows, siding, and decking. They will protect your house and also the tile shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. And as we do this week, we come to you after a win, a W, and that's always a good thing. Two in a row. Brian Westbrook, what's going on, man?
Man, good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, it's Victory Monday. And
it's
so
Victory
I think
Monday.
Every Victory Monday is a good day. Anytime the Eagles can go out and get a win on a Sunday afternoon, that's a good thing. You know, a lot of people have been complaining. A lot of people have said it's not enough. It's not good enough. We expect to go out there and beat the Jets. And I certainly feel the same. And so as we look at the game and we look back at the things that happened over the course of those 60 minutes of football, I think there's a lot of things to correct. There's some things to be encouraged by, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, there are some things that we have to address.
Yeah.
There are some things that we have to figure it out, because this next three games, all on the road, we're going to be facing some very good football teams, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And if we don't get those things corrected after these three games, we won't be where we want to be.
Well, so, not the normal way to celebrate, as you said, a Victory Monday with so much going on around town. Certainly on the Fanatic, listening all day, and the morning show, taking in a lot of calls, middays, Mike show, now us getting ready to do that. So while we're trying to celebrate the win, we're also celebrating a one-year anniversary of the morning show, and everyone
yes.
from the morning show is here.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
this
man.
This
evening, and so there's no show, and the morning show is here without Trey Thomas stopping
big dog. That's
and
right.
Bum rushing the set.
Yeah.
Like come on, sit down,
right?
Man.
As he should.
Family picnic.
That was an open microphone
coming.
And some headphones.
I hear you.
I mean, you know.
Trey, what's going on, man?
Sit down, man. I'm just hanging out.
Happy anniversary, hey, team.
Happy
thank
anniversary,
you,
man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's been a year. They got us a cake.
You,
they got
you Mark, a cake? And Sam,
yeah.
and Bob are here.
We have a harvest cake.
All right.
That's nice.
That's beautiful.
What is a harvest cake? What is
I'm
that?
I'm not sure, man.
A little autumn?
Because it must be pumpkin. Pumpkin.
Yeah, I'm out on
like
that.
It's all maple leaf on that.
Oh, okay. We don't have to discuss it then. We can figure something else out.
No, absolutely not. But guys, listen, we're here and we're talking about, we're trying to celebrate, of course, the anniversary of the morning show tomorrow, 1 year anniversary. And B, trying to celebrate the fact that they got this win. They are now 3-2. Dallas loses last night. So you're tied for first place in the division. And 2 weeks ago, this was not the mindset. The mindset was, of course, trying to go on the road or a short week against the Green Bay Packers, trying to get back on track, get the 2-2. They do that. You follow through on that one, then you get this win. And now we're looking at a first-place team with a tough schedule coming up. And all we really want to do right now is look at what worked yesterday. Look at what was good. And we knew, as you said, yesterday during the pregame show, you wanted a dominating performance against the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
In some sense, it was dominating on one side of the ball. 31-6 the final score. It was never a game. That being said, the reaction today really does not dictate a 3-2 team, a 31-6 victory over a football team in which you were supposed to dominate. After saying what you said yesterday, you wanted to see a dominating performance. Was that dominating enough, or did you need more?
You know, I think I'm one of these guys that is never satisfied. I'm always like, okay, what could we do better to make sure that in the long run we're a much better football team than we are currently? And so let's start on the defensive side, because to me that was the biggest bright spot. You know, of course, and you have to start with the defensive line. How those guys played up front. And not just one guy, but I'm talking about everyone.
Yeah.
From the starters to the backups, they all came in and dominated versus the Jets' offensive line. They just were overmatched. And I'm going to start with Brandon Graham, because we've been talking about him all season long, and I think started a little slow, but he was getting better and better and better. And finally yesterday, he exploded three sacks yesterday. led that defensive line. They did some different things with moving him across the defensive line from the outside into the inside. He's too quick and too powerful for some of the guards. He was able to get after the quarterback, and that's the name of the game. We've been looking for our defense to show up and dominate in that way. 10 sacks yesterday was a great way to start it.
Yeah, we always talk about the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football dominating and setting the tone for things. And Trey, they come away with 10 sacks yesterday, albeit, number one, it's a bad football team, a bad offensive line, and a young quarterback who probably had no business being out there, but he was. So you have to go out there and do your job. They did that with the 10 sacks. What did you see differently, or was it simply the opponent? And did you need that opponent to kind of get things going?
Well, I think you kind of needed that opponent to get things going. I mean, you know, this was an offensive line that really sucked, really, you know, to just be blunt about it.
Call it for what it is.
The Jets offensive line was a ragtag group. It was a group that they were already mixing and matching who was going to start. You know, I think they had a rookie tackle out there, yeah. You know, so, you know, this was a team that they needed to go out there and go and dominate. It was good to see BG get out there and just get after it. I mean, this was nothing new seeing him at a three position. I mean, that's where he got his sack in the Super Bowl, over the guard. So you know he can get down there and mix it up over the guard. He can play that three technique, get into their NASCAR package where you can have Fletcher Cox out there on the outside at the end and then move BG in. Or even, I think, Josh Sweat
or Vinny Curry
does a good job being down there as well. You know, they have a nice mix of group now. You know, of course you look at it with this offensive line and you're like, all right, you know, I'm glad that they went out there and got 10 sacks. Well, just on the defensive line, which you had eight sacks on the
right.
defensive line.
Yes.
So that's huge. Yep. That's what you needed. You know, you're going to be going up against another group that's, you know, as you continue to move on, Minnesota's offensive line might be a little bit better, you know, but this is something that at least you can get started, you build a little momentum, you can see what works to try to plan your next attack up against the next group you have to go up against.
Trey mentioned something that I think is so critical, that confidence, that momentum. And listen, we're going on the road for 3 weeks straight, and so
yeah.
We need that confidence. Winning two games, building off the game, the victory in Green Bay last Thursday, to me that's huge. Having the ability to say, you know what, we now know that some of these things work. These are some of the looks that we're going to try in the future, and we know that they're going to work, especially adding some of that depth. Deshaun Hall coming in, aggravating the quarterback, getting the sack, that was impressive. A lot of different guys had the ability to play yesterday, and to me, and Trey knows, and we, you know, I remember back to 2004. There were games where the starters might have played three quarters, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stat games. Games where you say the opponent is inferior. We're going to go out there and get our stats.
Well,
let's go get three or four touchdowns.
You probably only played three quarters.
Yeah, sorry about that, big dog. You had to play the whole
thing.
That's part of being
until 5 minutes left in the fourth for you? You had to play
that's
all.
That's part of being an offensive line. I mean, you got to stay in there.
Hey, that's Westbrook.
Jason Peters came out yesterday. Andre Dillard in.
I didn't have that luck. My bad.
Was it Winston Justice? He wasn't coming.
So, pick a juice game, played it all.
But it was good to me to see some of the depth that we saw, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Some of these young guys get their experience. I think it was a great opportunity to build that confidence. And really, that was it. Solely build some confidence, get some momentum, and get ready for these next three games on the defensive side of the ball. It was good to see Scandrick, first week in the fold, being able to affect the game, getting two doggone sacks right there. That was impressive.
Yeah.
It was also good to see the defense get into the end zone. Two touchdowns yesterday on the defensive side of the ball.
Gary and Scandrick both scoring the ball.
White snake, dude.
Yeah, that's what it's
you
all about.
You never score on a white snake. You don't throw on a white snake. That's Gary.
Good.
So they took advantage. But the offensive side of the ball is where I think things need to improve a little bit. And so, you know, as we shift there, I think, you know, offensively, we played against a Jets team that was okay defensively. They spent a lot of time on the field, so they get weaker as the game goes on. But offensively, I wasn't impressed with our performance. I thought this was similar to the stats game on the offensive side. And to come out of this game with only 14 points, two touchdowns offensively, I wasn't impressed with that.
Right.
I think they deserve better. I think they could have played better. They need to be more consistent, especially going into these next three games. And to me, it started with this game, and we didn't see it out of the offensive side of the football.
Man, if defense doesn't score those two touchdowns, the game is 17-6.
Yes.
Do you feel good about that win then?
I will say this. I'll give the offense a little bit of help here. Sometimes when the defense scores, it takes the momentum out of the offense. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We've had games where we'll go out and the defense is on the field first, and let's just say they get a pick six, and then they're right back on the field. So offensively,
you're just sitting, just waiting.
And so when the defense scores, obviously it's a great thing for the team, but it also kind of takes a little bit of the wind out of your sail. And I'll tell you this, I think Carson Wentz as a starter, as a player in this league, I think when the pressure's on, he plays his best.
Yeah.
And yesterday was not one of those situations, even though the offense still didn't perform.
But I guess with Brian Westbrook, Devon Givens here live from P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Malton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And we are here every Monday after Birds wins. Of course, Trey Thomas joining us, the anniversary of the morning show. Everyone is here. You should come on out. We're here until 7 o'clock. Trey, I guess when we look at it, though, and you say B starts talking about Carson Wentz and what he did and didn't do in the offense overall, you pointed out where it may have been a 17-6 game without the two scores from the defense.
Uh-huh.
It's really only brought up because we haven't seen anything consistent from the offense for us to really hang our hats on and say, okay, every week we're going to count on, even though they're averaging 28 points a game, we can count on 28 points a game.
What's their identity?
That's exactly. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to be a slow start. You don't know if it's going to be 14 points in the first quarter, and then you don't see anything into the fourth quarter. We don't have any real identity, as B just pointed out, with the offense where it's been inconsistent how the points have been scored.
Yeah, and you know what? Going up against the Jets, man.
And that was a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, they had a sneaky good defense, man.
Good defense.
I mean, you had a front four. I mean, they were a top 10 run defense. I mean, you know, their passing defense is where they struggle just because they're extremely creative with their blitz. And sometimes they're going to leave their secondary exposed. But I thought that their defense was pretty good. And also, too, they got us with some games and a couple of blitzes that, you know, you need to go back and watch film and say, you know what? We need to correct this because if not, we're going to get challenged again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this was the first time that you've seen the offensive line have to deal with a tackle where you know how you have an ET where the end penetrates and the tackle loops or a TE is where the tackle loops out and then the end comes around second. Well, now you have a TT that's happening in the middle where you had the two defensive tackles running the
looping.
Game. Yeah, looping where you had the – so the one play where Carson Wentz made the acrobatic – he dodged
Quinn Williams.
Ducked up under the guy.
Yep.
Well, that was because that guy went and lit Kelsey up with a TT. So he came in, he just straight kamikaze style. I'm coming to take out Kelsey's ear hole. He hit Kelsey, ricocheted off of him, and now he's coming clean to Carson. Now Carson, being a magician that he is, he ducked the play and made a big play, got the ball to Ertz. But, you know, this is stuff that you're going to have to correct because it's going to happen again. People are going to challenge you again, especially with you now going on the road. You're going to be on silent count.
Right.
You have to watch the snitter cadence and all of that. So you're going to have to get all of this straightened out.
The tricky part, and I think Trey brings up a great point, that TT, that middle of the line. So normally the guards and tackle are used to communicating with each other so they can switch a man. So the guard bumps his man out to the tackle. The tackle's man usually loops around. The guard picks him up. Now, when you have the two tackles doing that, the two inside guys on the defensive line, now the center and the two guards have to communicate. So a lot of times if Kelsey steps to the right and his guy is going to the left, he has to be able to come back and communicate to the left guard or to the right guard. And so it's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit different.
Are you talking about pre-snap or during the
after? After the snap. And
okay.
So here's the other thing. I expect these guys to do that. I mean, I don't care what stunt it is, whether it's a TT, whether it's a TE, all those different things. If you're not practicing that, then I don't know what you're doing at practice.
It looked like it had never been drilled.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. The way they handled that, you could tell like that was their first time dealing with a TT.
Well, that's a big problem, number one. But it also, and I'll use this on a good side. It's good that they're seeing it now so that they have all week long to practice these types of things because we know the NFL is a copycat league.
Yes.
We realize that if you have trouble with one thing one week, the next team that you play are going to come back and try the same exact thing. And so, to me, yesterday, we didn't dominate the trenches on the offensive side of the ball the way that the defense did. And I know the Jets, they do have a good front four. I understand that. And I know they do some different things up front. But I wanted our team to dominate them.
Mm-hmm.
We came into this season saying that we have one of the best offensive lines in the league. I want them to play like that every single week.
Yeah.
And that means keeping Carson Wentz clean so he doesn't have to make some of those magical magician type of moves to throw the ball down the field. Listen, our quarterback got hurt the last two seasons, the end of the year. I don't want him to get hit at all. I want him to protect himself. I want him to be protected by the offensive line, and I want him to be able to get the ball out of his hands quickly. Now, a lot of that has to do with Carson.
Yeah.
Some of that has to do with the offensive line. And I think that he can continue to get better in those areas. And Trey, as you see this offensive line, I know you time most of the plays, and I'm thinking he has to get rid of the ball 2.3, 2.5 seconds.
I think anything before 2.5, you're in a good shot of it. You know what I'm saying? Because most quarterbacks are getting the ball out around that 2.3,
right,
2.4 range. You know, you might have some of them where they right around that 2.2, 2.1.
Sure.
I mean, they're getting rid of it quick. That's the way you want to play the game. When you go and you watch a Tom Brady play the game,
ball's out.
Oh, ball is out. I timed this first series against the Rams in the Super Bowl, and I think in his first 15 throws, he only had one pass that went 2.4 seconds. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were 1.8, 1.7, 1.9, 2.1. You know, so that's just taking what the defense is giving you, getting rid of the ball. You make your offensive line way better when you're working like that. Now, Carson took a bad sack yesterday.
Yeah, that was
that one where he had his leg bent up over him. Yeah. You know, that one was
a little scary.
One of those ones. Like,
and then you go, like you said, the magician one where Kelsey snaps it over his head. He has the presence of mind to make sure he doesn't fall
to
the ground, take a sack. He throws the ball, but he did take a big hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has to be careful.
That's what you want to avoid.
Yeah.
I mean, because, again, we're...
How do you do it? Who is responsible for making sure he gets it out? The play is designed, and for the play designed to be what it is, he has to go through his progressions. Is it him? Is it the timing of the route that the guys are not there quick enough? Zach Ertz, you talk about him getting the ball all the time. If he's open, just like that, you get it to him.
There's a couple things. And it really, I hate that you can't really blame it on one person. So it's a combination of different things. I'll use Carson and Donovan McNabb in the same realm because they're both have athletic ability. Both of those guys make you, they're willing to hold on to the football a little bit longer because they're athletic. They can make a play outside of the pocket, which makes the left tackle, Trey Thomas, say, you know what?
Man,
instead of having to hold
ball, man, what are you doing?
Absolutely. Instead of having to hold my block for 2 seconds, now I have to hold it for four.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, Seven Deuce, he ain't trying to hold it for 4 seconds. He's in the huddle saying, Don, get rid of the football, because that makes him work a little bit longer. And that just makes it even harder to block some of his best pass rushers in the league who were on his side when we were playing. For that long, it's almost impossible. And so the truth is, Carson has a responsibility to get the ball out. The offensive line has to do a little bit better job protecting him. But the one thing that I'm thinking is, Doug, you got to make sure that these receivers understand, hey, it may be a blitz. Or you know what? We don't have the protection on par right now. We need to make sure we get our heads back, so that when Carson's ready to throw the football, we can get the ball out. And I think the receivers have to do a better job as well.
Now, because one of the plays, I think it was when Nelly caught a pass, it's like he turned around once he caught the ball. Like, it wasn't like he was in stride. Like, he was going left, but it seemed like he caught the ball and he turned all the way around to keep running forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't and it kind of like went.
He was going to his left.
Yeah, he was
he
going
caught
to,
it, had to turn back around.
Yeah,
and
so
yes.
It wasn't a throw open type situation.
Correct.
So it was kind of a wait, okay, now you're really open, and then I let it go. Instead of it just you throwing at spots and let the receivers go and get it.
That's timing.
Yeah.
That's accuracy, and that's trusting your receivers.
Yeah.
And personally, I think Carson can be a little bit more accurate. I doubt that he has trust in Nelson Aguilar at this point, and I think the timing is a little bit off.
And he only had one catch for 20 yards yesterday, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, and then I think the timing gets thrown off, too, if you're not getting challenged in practice. You know what I'm saying? So how can you get the timing if you're not having anyone challenge you in practice, where when you're in practice, you get there, you get your reads, bam, 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 the receivers aren't getting jammed at the line, none of it, nothing is being thrown off in practice. So how can you get the timing if everything is a 7-on-7, just like on air?
Yeah, that's the hard part. And here's the thing. As NFL practices normally go, at the beginning of the year, you're still kind of grinding a little bit. You're still in grind mode. You know, this is back in the day, so I'm talking about old school football, back when me and Trey played in it. Things are different now. But usually at the beginning of the season, you're grinding still because you still need to improve so much more from the beginning to the end of the year, right? Yeah. So you're grinding every practice, trying to get better. You're challenging yourself. You're challenging other players. I remember vividly watching one-on-one drills. The defense would be playing, and Trey would just have just random defensive linemen. He would have Reno Mahe out there just giving him a look. Work on speed, work on my hands, work on the bull rush, work on these small things. Even one time, We were messing around a little bit. I got in the three-point stance, and I was going to do it. And I was like, Trey. I said, Trey gets too serious. He might punch me in the mouth. And I'm like, nah. So I said, you know what? I thought better of it. But it's that challenging yourself in practice that helps you get better. And yes. I think you're right. I think the timing is a little bit off, and they have to do a better job in practice. I haven't been there. But if they're not challenging themselves in practice, there's going to be some issues as far as timing goes.
And well, so, Carson Wentz yesterday, 17 for 29, 189, only one score. As we said, two offensive scores, one by Jordan Howard on the ground, Carson Wentz through the air. We'll get to both of those guys and the offensive side of the football on the other side. It's the Brian Westbrook Show, live from P.J. Willihan's, of course, here in Cherry Hill, 1854 East Marlton Pike. It's a celebration. Yes, a celebration of the Eagles' 31-6 win, but we're also celebrating Trey Thomas, Farzetta and Trey, the morning show.
Yeah.
1 year anniversary tomorrow. Come on out, hang out with us. A nice crowd, but there's still more room for you. If you do want to hit us up on the phones and speak to Brian and Trey, 610-632-0975. It's the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live from P.J. Willihan's until 7, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yes, back here at P.J. Willihan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 1854 East Marlton Pike. Brian Westbrook Show, along with Devon Givens. We are joined by Trey Thomas from the morning show with the anniversary party going on here at P.J.'s. Come on out. Everybody's here. You got Sam Wilson is here, Bob Cooney.
Yep.
Right? Jamie just popped in. They also have, of course, Mark Farzetta.
And his beautiful daughter. Beautiful daughter.
Yeah. Yes,
2 months old. Wow.
Awesome. My guys.
Looks like wow. Jamie brought the baby as well.
Jamie has a baby too.
Yeah, Jamie has a little girl too.
We got those, the babes on broad hanging out, right?
Yeah. Beautiful, great podcast. Beautiful young ladies.
So, you know, come that's on out. Say hi to everyone. We're here until 7 o'clock, but the party will continue.
That's Sam?
Right. The baby.
The two young ladies. They're beautiful young ladies.
Sam, yeah. Beautiful?
Yeah, beautiful young ladies.
Really?
Yeah, but you know.
Sam's a dude.
Oh, my goodness.
She's one of us.
Okay.
She is one of us.
She has long hair. I mean,
she is one of us.
Beautiful young lady.
Yes.
You know, the good thing about having Trey here is that anytime I need to find out what's the blocking scheme and what's going on with the running game, we got the big dog. And he understands everything. The great thing about Juan, our old offensive line coach, is that he made it mandatory that everybody understood everything. And so if you ask Trey a question about the left tackle, he's going to tell you what the right tackle, the right guard, the left guard, and the doggone center is going to do. And I appreciate that. And so as we look at the run game yesterday, Jordan Howard had a decent game. I think he did well as far as running the football, but I certainly want to ask Trey about the offensive.
13 of 62, 4.8 Probably could have had more opportunities.
Yeah, I think he should have had some more opportunities. Miles Sanders didn't get it going. I think he had 9 carries for 15 yards. That's not going to be enough for him. But, Trey, what did you see from the run game as well as the run block in the front?
This run defense was 8th in the league when it came to stopping the run. I mean, this was a top 10 group. You had some badasses up front, man, that were getting good push. And if you didn't work combination blocks, it wasn't working. You know, I thought that we got stuffed way too much. I thought that sometimes we're running tackle traps, you know, and JP comes through there. He doesn't get the movement that you're used to seeing from him a couple times.
When you say a tackle trap, what do you mean?
Where you have, he's pulling across the line. So they're going to let a guy come through, and JP's pulling to come and clean him up.
Got you.
Now, one time he came through, blew it up. The next time, wasn't the same. You know, I remember they even had Nelly come through there one time, and now you got Nelly.
170 pounds,
trying to take on a 300-pound D-lineman, man. I mean, come on, man.
Well, he's not catching, so
that
he might as well
do
something.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I think not if you're seeing anybody, you're seeing Matt Collins. He want to play special teams anyway, so go ahead.
Let him block.
Let him go ahead and get something.
I'm not in love with Jason Peters pulling. I think that Jason Peters, to me, he's a backside cutoff guy. I think he can get down there. I just don't love the big fella pulling. To me, this is where I want my running game. I'm seeing Brandon Brooks. I'm seeing Lane Johnson. I'm starting almost all my runs that way. starting that way, and I'm cutting back towards Jason Peters because I'm expecting him to get that big body up on the linebacker. That's my expectation as a running back, and so that's the way I would like it. But, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do the run game. You know, the way that I think the offense struggles is if you have a big guy over Kelce, to me, that's a problem, right? Yeah. The way that I love Jason Kelce.
We talked about that years ago.
Absolutely.
Before he got form, back in the form, his all-pro level.
Because he's light.
Yes.
And because he's a really good athlete.
And these guys are big and fast.
The best thing for Kelce, really, is to get a down block by one of the guards, meaning the guards, say the right guards, go to his left, block the man over Kelce, and now Kelce pulls around him and leads the running back up in the hole, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think Jordan Howard ran hard. I think that Miles Sanders is still figuring out the NFL and how to cut and how to get in open space and make some people miss things that he has to continue to get better at. But offensively speaking, I wasn't upset with the run game again. Mm-hmm. This Jets defense, they got some boys up front.
Yeah.
They have gotten after a lot of different teams in the run game. So I wasn't as upset that our run game with both players, Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, didn't get off the
way. Yeah, but we got a little too cute, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I
felt like we got a little too cute with, like, the tackle traps and you trying to run all these little trap games. Instead of, man, let's just go ahead. I mean,
it against Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead inside zone, outside zone. Let's go ahead and make them work, man. You know?
Is that Doug saying, you know what? We know that we're better than these guys. Let's put something else on tape, or let's try something else, because this is a game out of the next four games that we have the ability to try these things.
Is this like
but what does it do for you if it's a
he's a quarterback?
Yeah, but it's a 4-yard loss. You had one play that was stuffed. I mean, it was on one of those tackle traps, and it got blew up in the backfield. I mean, you know, this was, you know, I guess, yeah, if you want to try to get cute and try different stuff, all right. But, I mean, man, you make your hay when you can go ahead and just get downhill, let JP and Isaac go ahead and combination those three techniques up to the linebacker and get it done like that. Work your combination with Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson, or you got Isaac and Kelce working to the down lineman up to the linebacker instead of trying to do all these pulling techniques and all of that. If you're going to run power, all right, that's fine, because at least you get a double team at the point of at the front side of it. Then you have a pulling guard coming behind it. But, you know, to me, you can go ahead and get it done with inside zone, outside zone, especially the running back that you have in Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
You don't have to get cute with him.
I don't think you get cute with him at all. I think that you say, listen, everybody go block somebody. Let's double team on the play side. And then just get downhill. Run downhill football. Make him make a guy miss on the second level. And then make a guys on the third level make a business decision. And I think Jordan Howard is big enough, strong enough to be able to do that. You know, I just think they just like the rest of the offense, I think that there are times where offensively we didn't look like we had continuity. It kind of looked like we were throwing play in here, throwing play in there. It looked like our team doesn't have any rhythm offensively. And I blame some of that on Doug. I blame some of that on just the run game. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around. I think we have to find that. Again, to your point earlier, Devon, that's part of finding the identity of our football team. What do we want to be? We want to be a power run team, which I will never be, but we have the personnel to do it, especially up front. Or do we want to be more of a finesse team? And to me, we can do that, but at some point during November and December, you're going to have to run when everybody knows you're going to run the football.
And Doug Peterson said today during his press conference that it looks like, at least, Jordan Howard is getting a majority of bulk of the work now.
Which
he
should.
The fact that he's been performing well the last 3 weeks, the numbers he put up last week, what he looked like yesterday, despite the fact that he probably could have had more carries and they didn't give it to him. Is that the right call right now? As you said, Miles Sanders still trying to figure things out. Is that the right call?
I would like to see more of Jordan Howard. He seems like he's the type of back that's going to get you those tough yards first and second down. I like Miles Sanders, but, you know, how is he when it comes to pass protection at times? You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen, even with Jordan Howard a couple of times, where I've seen them take on a D lineman instead of actually going out there to the corner that's coming free. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, picking up that. Because, you know, when it comes to blitz pickup, everybody needs to be on point. You need to understand what Kelce's point is, what his communication is, and then everything breaks down from there. And if you don't understand what your responsibility is, then now you are exposing a $100 million quarterback back there. And you need to understand, okay, you know what? He's a down lineman. We should be calling 5-0 right here instead of us. And when I say 5-0, that's saying our five offensive linemen are taking their five defensive guys. And then the running back has whatever his dual read is outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the rest of whoever else is out there, that's it.
Yeah, you have corner to whatever else that's outside. You know, we're going to take care of these five guys here. Because seeing 46 standing up there in the middle linebacker range,
right,
he's an outside linebacker. He is a down. He's going to always be your known rusher. Because that's what he is. You can't get fooled by the numbers. So, I mean, just stuff like that. I think that Miles Sanders needs to just continue to grow in that. But, you know, I think for me, Jordan Howard is your guy, though. I would like to see him with more carries.
And especially with the running game, as you talked about, are you going to be a power team? Are you going to be a passing team? We know they're going to be a passing team. Mixing the run, of course. He's not going to get a tremendous amount of work where he's going to be too tired or overworked. Because even with his style of running being right. so physical, he's not going to be overworked is what I'm saying. So
no, he won't.
Do what you do that gets this offense moving.
Yeah, you know, I just
And it's been moving.
13 carries. I mean, again, we got to understand this is a 25-point game. So 13 carries for Jordan Howard, 9 carries for Miles Sanders. That's still not a lot.
And now Darren Sproles is hurt.
What happened to him?
I can't remember what's happening.
Was it an abdomen situation with him as well?
Father Time is undefeated.
I'm not sure exactly what it is with Darren. I mean, you always are concerned with Darren. They overused him in that first game, which is why you haven't seen very much of him recently. But I just think that in a 25-point game, you should have more run plays. I'll tell you that. And so the other part to that is that goes to the offense's consistency. And how consistent can this offensive unit be? How much cohesion do you have in the run game as well as the pass game? I think Doug, as a play caller, still is a bit uncomfortable, not quite sure who he can depend on and trust as far as out there on the field. He's still trying to feel that out. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Not having number 10 out there changes what defenses do. It changes your perspective offensively.
Sure, yeah.
Just imagine Doug Peterson. Just put yourself in his shoes for a minute. All offseason, you're game planning to have 10 out there opening up defenses. And there's certain defenses you play with number 10 out there that you right now you're not willing to play because at the same time, you don't have that guy stretching the football field. And so not having Deshaun out there for however long it's going to be, not since the first week, it's going to affect your run game in different ways. They have nobody that takes the top off the defense. No explosive plays down the field. That's going to continue to hurt this offense.
And by the way, Darren Sproles, real fast, guys, is a quad strain.
Quad strain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So week to week with him.
Yeah. But, like, even when you had those two overthrown passes that went to Nelly, I mean, you have Deshaun Jackson out there. Those passes are
touchdown.
Those touchdown.
But Nelly has to turn over the other shoulder, and he maybe catches that football. Man. Deshaun Jackson is one of the best ball trackers in the league.
All right.
Well, we got on him a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
We can always do it, but let's give him a little bit of break because it is a celebration.
Let him live.
It is a celebration as we broadcast live from, again, P.J. Willihan's and Cherry Hill, 1854 East Marlton Pike, the Pro Show. With Brian Westbrook is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Join us Monday nights from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show, live here from the PJ Willihan's in Cherry Hill. You grab a seat early. You enjoy some happy hour specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 slides, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos. All day, every day, enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass. Also presented by Rudder Roofing, Window Sliding, and Decking. They will protect your house. And finally, the Tile Shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. On the other side, we get into Minnesota. All right, 2-3-2.
Tough matchup.
2-3-2 teams. They have revenge on their minds, certainly, and they have a little internal issues that they're going through, so they want to get some W's to kind of get away from some of those problems. The Brian Westbrook Show, live from P.J. Willihan's in Cherry Hill. Final segment on the other side. Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, Devon Givens, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, back here, 97.5 The Fanatic. We are live from PJ Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Brian Westbrook Show, Devon Givens, one final segment coming up at 7 o'clock. Of course, Joe Torti and D-Line. I'm carrying you until midnight. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Not too far from here, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination.
How excited is D-Line about the doggone Sixers this year?
Oh, yeah, we've been
I know yeah, she yeah. is absolutely hyped
yeah.
about the
yeah,
Sixers.
Yeah, she's ready to roll.
Oh, yeah.
Get
yeah.
excited.
Ready to roll. Tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, first preseason game.
Tomorrow at the center.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow at the center.
It feels like basketball season is getting closer and closer and closer, and it's finally here now.
That's what it is, man.
Exciting times.
Get excited for the squad. You just heard Tom McGinnis the drop.
Yeah.
So get ready for the Philadelphia 76ers. NBA Finals. My opinion. It's a failure if you don't.
Hey, listen. Ben Simmons, get the jump shot ready.
Hey.
Let's go.
Do something. Nice turnout for the scrimmage on Saturday.
Nice.
By the way, for the Sixers, the blue-white scrimmage at the 76ers Fieldhouse in Delaware, home of the Blue Coats. B, Minnesota yesterday winning 28-10 over the New York Giants. They are 3-2 now, as are the Philadelphia Eagles. And as we know, these in-conference games are very important due to seeding.
Yes.
The NFC is up in the air right now.
It is.
How are you looking at things early on, early week? Game is Sunday. We have the pregame show on Sunday. How are you looking at things with the Minnesota Vikings right now?
Well, listen, you know, the Vikings, for a long time, they've had a very good defense. And when you look at their defensive numbers, you're talking about their fourth in points. They're only giving up 15 points a game. That's pretty doggone good. And that may be problems for us. They're only allowing 292 yards a game. That's fourth in the league. Mm. And, you know, fifth in pass and fourth in the rush. So defensively speaking, they're one of the better teams in the league. What you're going to see for them is a physical, nasty brand of football, especially in their building. They're going to be wanting a little payback for that NFC Championship game. Was it a couple years ago?
2017, absolutely. Yes.
NFC Championship game.
Embarrassed here in Philadelphia.
That's right. We get into that beautiful building, same building that we won a championship, that the NFL Championship,
yes,
the
indeed.
Super Bowl.
You were there.
So that's exciting. But we have to do something different. And I think against this football team, we have to have a couple different things. We have to start fast, obviously, offensively, be able to run the football against a very good front, similar to what we saw in the Jets. But we also have to be effective passing the football. That means Carson Wentz has to be on point, on time, and he has to get rid of the football. And those are
noisy in that dome.
Oh, it's going to be noisy. And so that means the offensive line, I wish Trey was still here, the offensive line has to understand their defensive line probably is going to have the advantage because they're getting off on the ball. And we're kind of still looking at the ball and then going out to block our man. We have to do a good job of blocking. That means the communication. We talked about the TE stunts and the different things that the defensive line can do. We have to do a very good job of communicating with our front four to protect our quarterback. That's the main focus to me. Win in the trenches. We saw the defensive line this past weekend get 10 sacks. We have to have a great performance from our offense and defensive line if we want to have a chance in this game.
And on the defensive line, if we speak about everything that you just said and the 10 sacks and all, Kirk Cousins a little more obviously proven in the league than Luke Falk was yesterday. That being said, Dalvin Cook, while the Eagles have been tremendous in stopping the run so far this season through the five games, Dalvin Cook has been a problem for a lot
yes,
of defenses.
Has.
A very talented young back, it seems like, B, from his ACL recovery, where he's back to where he's supposed to be in terms of being that guy. You're going to have to pay a lot of attention to him with Adam Thielen out there and Stephon Diggs also trying to find his way back into the offense.
Every team tries to find a big three, similar to basketball, but in football, it's usually wide receiver, quarterback, and running back. This team has two very good receivers, great route runners in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Kirk Cousins, he's hurt us in the past when he was in Washington.
Yes.
He had a good game this
yes.
past weekend. But before last week, week five, he was still struggling, trying to figure things out. He had a good game last weekend against the Giants, which a lot of people are going to have a good game against the Giants.
He did his job.
Most importantly, they got their run game going. Dalvin Cook as a running back, coming out of Florida State, I watched him play, and I wanted the Eagles to get this young man because he has the ability to run between the tackles. He has the speed to get to the outside. He has the ability to catch the ball, and he can be a bell cow. You can hand him the football 20-plus times a game, and he can get you over 100 yards. And so when you watch the first five games of the season, he has four games over 100 yards rushing. He catches the ball well out of the backfield, six catches in each of the last two games. It's been impressive what Dalvin Cook has been able to do, similar to what Christian McCaffrey's doing down there in Carolina. He's just going off right now. And so Dalvin Cook is something that our defense has to think about. And the hard part for our defense is going to be this. We know they want to throw the ball as well. And we know our corners have had struggles competing down the field with very good receivers. And so now Jim Schwartz has to make a decision. Do you want to blitz and allow Thielen speed, Diggs more speed to get down the field against our cornerbacks? You know, you blitz and try to stop the run a little bit and make Kirk Cousins throw the ball a little bit faster. But at the same time, you're putting our secondary in harm's way with two very talented receivers. Or do you do this? Do you play back a little bit, allow them to run the ball a little bit more, potentially be successful running the ball with Dalvin Cook and controlling the clock and being that way? And so it's incumbent upon our front four to get some pressure, to be able to stop the run, not put our linebackers and secondary in a bind. But listen, this offense is very good. They complement this Minnesota defense very well. This is going to be a tough test for us.
And when you talk about blitzing, you still have to be careful with the corners.
Yes.
On the outside.
Of course.
With those guys. And we still don't know. Again, not tested yesterday, albeit a nice job. Still not tested as of yet.
They didn't have the ability last week.
Yeah, and you're still running out. Scandrick had a nice game.
Uh-huh.
Scandrick.
Off the street. That's right.
Douglas.
Uh-huh.
James.
Yep.
And Douglas. Sidney Jones, a healthy scratch yesterday, basically, because he suited up and didn't play. You're going to need him probably this week.
If you're Stephon Diggs and you're Adam Thielen, you're saying, you know what, this is the secondary that I want to play against.
Absolutely.
These are the guys, if I get in a one-on-one situation, these are the guys that I want to play against. So now it's, you know, we talked about the 10 sacks this past week and how important that was to our secondary and not allowing them to get exposed. Our defensive line has to play similar. I mean, we may not get 10 sacks because their offensive line is a little bit better, but we have to be able to affect Kirk Cousins. We have to be able to get around him. I remember us not affecting Kirk Cousins in the past when he was in Washington, and he had some field days against our defense. We have to do a much better job up front to not put our secondary guys in a dilemma where they're saying, hey, we may not be able to cover these guys down the field. That's going to be a problem.
And real fast, before we hand things off to Joe Torty and D-line him, everyone in the NFC East lost.
Great. That's great for us.
Jay Gruden loses his job in Washington.
Out of there. Should have been lost his job. Yeah.
They took too long.
I don't know what Washington. Washington is a poorly run organization. Bruce Allen is still, for some reason, a GM, which makes no sense. Jay Gruden got fired, as he should have. He should have been fired long ago. I don't know what they're going to do with Trent Williams, the left tackle. They just make no sense. They're a terribly run organization.
That's terrible. Terrible situation, but that's their problem. Look forward to playing them again one more time and get that W. Be a great turnout here at P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike, where we are every week, Monday night, 6 to 7, after Eagles games. Hopefully we're talking next week.
A big win, improving to
4-2. I will see you on Sunday, pregame show.
I'm excited about that.
Oh, man.
Parks Casino.
Trey Thomas, Jason Avant, Brian Westbrook.
We got a full house this weekend.
Oh, we're going to have a full house, man. So listen, thank you to everybody. Josh back at the studio, Joe Nick Engineering, and of course Kenzie and Kev on the ground crew with handling all the things here. All the great people that stopped by and said hello, we really appreciate it. Thanks for turning out. And by the way, happy anniversary to the morning show tomorrow. 1 year anniversary of the morning show, Farzetta and Trey, and the morning show on 97.5 The Fanatic. So we will talk to you on Sunday together with Trey and Jason Avant, and you will be on Friday with Mike Missanelli as well. We'll be back Monday for the Brian Westbrook show, but coming up next, that will be Joe Torty and D Lineham carrying you until midnight. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.